You're listening to ReachMD XM233, the channel for medical professionals. Burnout is a common problem amongst physicians and medical systems. How do we sustain the sustainer? Welcome to the Clinicians Roundtable. I'm Dr. Leslie Lunt, your host, and with me today is internist and chief of occupational health at CPMC in San Francisco, Dr. Linda Hawes-Clever. Dr. Clever is a nationally known expert on professional and organizational burnout. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Clever, you've started what I think is really a revolutionary program called Renew. Now, please tell us how it started and why.
It came out of actually a sad and terrible time in my life. For years, I, as an internist and teacher and occupational health person, I'd looked around and noticed that my colleagues were droopy, wondering if they'd chosen the right profession, wondering how to keep on going and so forth. And that's not a terrific state of mind, nor does it help patients stop errors and all those sorts of things. And then what happened to me was just a series of terrible things, actually, in my life. My mother and my father both died, and my husband was diagnosed with carcinoma of the prostate, and our house was burglarized, and I lost 3 jobs because of cutbacks in health care, and that all happened in about 18 months. So it was necessary to rethink my whole life. And because of my awareness of my colleagues and because of my acute awareness of my own situation, and because of a friendship I had with John Gardner, who started Common Cause and was Secretary of Health Education and Welfare, and he and I had been trustees at Stanford, actually, and he'd written extensively about renewal and leadership and excellence. And so as we were thinking what to do next about me, we agreed that this would be a good time to put theory into practice. That is, we know that we all need to renew and refresh and refuel just like an engine does. The question is, how can we do it? So that was basically the launch.
So what is Renew?
Renew is a not-for-profit. We're a special project of the Institute for Health and Healing at California Pacific Medical Center. And thinking back to the beginning, which was about 10 years ago, as we were thinking and learning about how do people refresh, how do we keep going despite a tough day or a tough year, we started doing grand rounds. And, you know, people who organize grand rounds are pathetically happy to have anybody come and present. That was our first launch. Then we put on workshops and seminars and then got asked to come to medical staffs and so forth. Then what really seemed to us was that we needed to help people be together in groups, not therapy, not support, nothing wrong with those, but this is different. This is just to have conversations about things that are important to us. How do you get through a tough day? What is success? How do you make friends? Things that have a lot to do with our lives and our professions and home and neighborhood, because we're people too, just like our patients, and we have more than our profession, which we love and cherish on a good day. We also have our own concerns, and we need to take care of ourselves, and how do we walk the dog and read a book and get our own influenza shots. So we started putting together what we call conversation groups, and we've done those all over the country, and we can teach people how to convene conversation groups so that the technology, as it were, can be transferred to clinics and hospitals, and it turns out schools, and it turns out practices, and it turns out to attorneys and churches and so forth, because needing to renew and refresh and kind of take a breather so we know what we're really doing is probably something that everybody, you and I know, in the 21st century needs to do.
And it seems like we do less and less of it.
And that's sad, because one of the things we know from the literature is that when people take a break, even if it's to take a break to have a deep breath, they get refreshed. We can take on new things. We can have creative ideas. We can be innovative. But it's gotten almost stylish to say, well, I haven't had a vacation in 3 years, or my longest vacation was 2 days extra over the 4th of July. And that just turns out to be wearying. People get tired.
You know, my way to work this morning, I was listening to, guess what, XM 233. And there was a show about the demise of the doctor's lounge.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it really kind of hit a chord with me that, gosh, you know, we used to hang out in the doctor's lounge and you'd see all different sorts of docs, all different sorts of specialties and, you know, catch up on curbside consultations and the stock market and the latest score of the ball game. And it seems like people don't even do that anymore.
Well, it's true. And part of it is how medicine has resorted or been resorted. So many people aren't coming to the hospitals anymore, period. And I really agree. We had the same thing in the doctor's lounge, in the doctor's dining room. Time was when you'd talk about the symphony or time you'd talk about your kids. Some people, at the beginning of all the catastrophe that so many people feel has happened to medicine, started to notice that the doctor's lounge and the doctor's dining room, if they even existed anymore, also were places for a whole lot of complaining. I know physicians who said, I'm not going there. I'm just trying to do my life. I don't need to get dragged down by somebody with the BMW syndrome.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to ReachMD, XM 233, the channel for medical professionals. I'm Dr. Leslie Lunch, your host, and with me today is Dr. Linda Hawes-Clever. So let's talk about the underpinnings of your organization.
There are two, well, really three basic principles. One, I mentioned about getting together in groups. Even sometimes during presentations, we ask people, you know, if it's a large group, just to get together in groups of two or three and talk about solutions or how they're stuck and making changes. However, in the conversation groups, which can go on, we have the one conversation group of physicians has been meeting every 3 months and now every 2 months for the last 7.5 years. Beyond groups, there are two theoretically important principles. One is adult learning theory. And adult learning theory is what we really know. Adults learn by stories, and adults learn by what applies to their lives. In third grade, when we were learning the times table, or these days in third grade, I think they're learning algebra, we memorize things. And still now, we memorize things, what's the newest protocol, and so forth and so on. However, our preference is to learn by stories and by what we need to know. So that's one. So what we do is meant to be very practical, very down to earth. The other is change theory, and I think that most of us are aware of what it takes a patient to change. This whole business of, first of all, you need to have your attention called to the fact that there's a problem, and you need to pay attention to that. And then you set a plan, and then you launch it, and then you also have ways that you can, when you fall off the wagon, literally or figuratively, then how do you get back on the wagon? And then how do you stay? How do we keep on losing weight or keep the weight loss? Or how do we work on our moods? Or how do we, again, make change? Well, it turns out, this is kind of shocking, that physicians aren't very different from patients when we need to change, whether it's change our attitude or change our practice or go somewhere new, whatever it might be. There still are several parts to change. Again, becoming aware of it and then caring about it and then making plans and then making the change and then sustaining the change. So that's the change theory part.
So what kind of problems or symptoms might an organization coming to Renew have?
People, individuals, or the whole outfit, whether it's a hospital, again, or a clinic, or a school, can feel exhausted. You're just dragging because there are demands, there are requests, there are more and more regulations. I was at a program for elders the other day, and because they provide health care, they have 17 different state agencies that have regulations for what they do. You just get discouraged and exhausted. You can feel overwhelmed by change. Also, one of the interesting things that organizations and people can feel is they feel stuck or they feel in a rut. And one of the things that we try to point out is the difference between being in a groove, which is, you know, kind of hip and hot and you're really cooking along, and though the groove can become a rut where you're just going doing the same old, and not even looking up above the edge of the rut. Sometimes organizations and the individuals that sustain those organizations feel like they just can't make a decision. There are so many choices, and you don't have all the information, but we'll never get all the information, but the decision has to get made, but, well, we don't want to make it quite yet. So it's feeling indecisive or adrift. Sometimes it's just chaos. Sometimes there are misunderstandings between leaders, however many, or among leaders, or between leaders and staff, so that there really are, if not outright conflicts, there are competitions that need to get sorted out. And then I would say, finally, when people are kind of worried, there's maybe a new CEO, or there's a new board chair, or there's a new department chair, or there's a new something, and people might be kind of worried that they are going to get demoted or moved or not be heard anymore, that's a very good time for people to be in touch with their values, which is the first thing we talk about is values, so they start feeling strong and capable, able to weather whatever is being thrown at them.
So an organization will call you with any number of these problems, and I assume that probably more than a few. What do you do? How do you go about assessing what would be best for them?
The first thing we do is listen hard and say, what's on your mind? What do you want? It's not just what do you need, because that's usually somebody from the outside kind of shaking a finger saying, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. What matters to them is what they want. And so we listen, and we listen for a long time and take notes and then integrate that into what we've heard or what we know or what we might do and tailor very specifically for them. I was just talking with a major health system CEO yesterday, and I said, what do you want? And he said, you know, I don't know, because there's so much coming at us right now. And then they said, why don't we just talk about it and see what we come up with? Because, you know, the physicians want one set of things, and nurses want many of the same sorts of things, but they have perhaps employment issues. And then there are lab techs, and there are x-ray techs, and there are all the kinds of people and the kinds of skills that it takes to keep an organization going. People have somewhat different priorities. So listening is the first thing. Then I would say assembling the talent that we have or have tried before, and coming up with a quilt and then sewing the pieces together. So it's that organization's own quilt. Then we launch, and then we figure. One of the things that I think that is also fun about this, and we really have a good time. That's very important. But we figure out how to decide if anything is working together. So again, depending on what the organization wants, then we decide how to evaluate what we're doing.
Well, I want to thank our guest today, Dr. Linda Haas-Clever. We've been discussing organizational and personal burnout. I am Dr. Leslie Lunt. You've been listening to the Clinicians Roundtable on ReachMD XM233, the channel for medical professionals. For comments and questions, please send your emails to xm@reachmd.com. Thank you for listening.